I'll let it, Jerry. So, everybody's here but Demicki, I mean, but Madigan?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anybody hear from him?
I have not.
Okay. Well, let's call a meeting to order.
Okay.
And our roll call involves some new members, so I want to make sure that I've know everybody who's joining us as PMBC committee members. And don't feel you have to be muted unless you want to be muted or we start getting interference just for the ease of conversation. We've got regular PMBC members, Karen Berry and Ron Demicki and me, and I'm looking for Tom Gutowski.
He's to your right.
He's not to my right, but I see no face, but I see a name. Are you there, Tom?
I'm here.
Yep. And Jerry, I recognize from earlier meetings. And Craig Robbins, I think I recognize from joining us in our earlier work on this project. Is that right, Craig?
That's correct.
Yep. Yeah. And Richard Hutchings. And our Tom and Jerry and Craig and Richard all appointed to the committee for this project, Bob? And you're muted.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. They've all been appointed.
Okay, good. Can we take a minute at this point to just ask each of you to just tell us what your connection is. It may be painfully obvious, but I just want to be reminded. I think I know Jerry's, but I'm seeing Jerry first, and then Richard, and then Craig, and then Tom. Would you just say what you're joining the committee for, so we can, you know, make the most out of your background knowledge? Jerry?
Sure. I'm a member of the Tattecan Fire and EMS. I've been a member on the EMS side for 15 years and fire side for about 3.
Okay. Thank you. Richard?
I'm one of the former fire chiefs. I was also I was the chairman of the original committee to design and bring the project to like the architect and et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I'm sorry for having lost track of some of this information. Craig?
I'm going to copy Rich. I'm in the past Chiefs Club and also was on the committee a few years ago when this was developed.
Right, the past Chiefs Club. And Tom?
Yep, I'm also a member of the fire department and just been working when Bruce was around, worked with him as far as what we needed going into this new firehouse and hope to continue it.
Right. Well, welcome. It's wonderful to have all of you participate because you've all got the special knowledge that we need to make this the best project we can. And Jerry, explain your presence on my screen here. If you don't mind.
Jerry, you're muted.
Can't hear you.
Jerry Waters.
There you go. I'm just interested in what's going on with the fire department or fire station from an architectural standpoint and a citizen standpoint.
Oh, good. So you're a member of the public for this purpose at this point.
That's all I am.
We can't dump any special responsibilities on you or anything.
Nope. He is the town building official for another month, so if you need any, you know, expertise or anything, feel free to hit him up.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, get every ounce of use out of him before he goes.
Well,
maybe another month.
30 days.
There you go. I hit him up for help at the transfer station every chance I can, so there's no reason to hold back now. Well, it's nice to see you all. Thank you for joining us.
Dave Madigan's joining too.
Sorry I'm late. Running a little late from work here, but on the line, so.
Hello, Dave. Dave, just so you know, we just introduced ourselves to the new committee members joining for this project, which you can see on the screen, Jerry Holland and Richard Hutchings, Craig Robbins, and Tom Gutowski. Jerry Waters just wanted to see if we had approved his final invoice on the middle school project.
Still hanging out there.
Yeah, who cares a holdout?
2004 date on it.
Yeah, wow.
So we're moving into December 7th building committee minutes. We'll go through those and then get on to what we really want to do. Committee members have a chance to look at the December 7th draft minutes.
Yep.
Any comments, Karen? Ron?
Yes, I just want, page one, under the new Collinsville Fire EMS project, paragraph two, the first sentence says, yep, suggested that the overall schedule be discussed at this meeting. Is it this meeting, or next meeting, or both? I'm not quite sure on that one. Did we do the overall schedule?
Well, I think that the statement's attributed to me, and obviously we needed to talk about schedule at the last meeting. It doesn't mean that we wouldn't talk about it at the next meeting.
When I read it, it's like I couldn't remember the context or why it was even necessary if it's at this meeting we're going to be discussing it.
Yeah, right. Well, we've got a different recorder here. I think they're framed differently. Is there anything that you want clarified in that, or?
Well, I needed it for my clarification on that, so that I could, when I
recording
read it.
Recording in progress.
Okay.
Yeah.
So on the next page.
Yeah.
Paragraph number two about Bob Martin commenting.
Yep.
I'm not sure if that one sentence needs to be even in there.
I was confused by it as well.
So I would like to remove it.
Bob Martin commented cost estimates for the building interior were based on our needs for functionality that serves the environment, some of the DPW facility project.
I had a question on that also.
Well, is Bobby here? There's Bob. Yep. Bob, do you remember that remark? Do you think that we were trying to preserve a significant point about that? Was there some environmental component we were discussing?
No, I believe the context was... what did Peter Carey's two quotes get based off of as far as how the building would be put together? And I kind of mentioned that it would be similarly materials and the programming that went into Public Works' project. So I think Dave had a question about that. And I was just trying to comment on my discussions with Peter Carey prior to getting those quotes. Because one of the questions he asked me was, well, how fancy do you want it to be? And I didn't know how to answer it. I just said, well, why don't you just copy DPW?
Right.
So okay. I'm not sure it got recorded in the... right way.
Yeah, either can come out, or we have to clarify that the comment is the cost estimates from Millennium Builders, and then and clarify that with either one or the other. And
I don't think it's a substantive point that needs to be recorded.
Well,
minutes, unless somebody else feels otherwise.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this is Peter Carey. When I talked to Bob, you know, they gave us a floor plan, but there was no indication of what the envelope was built out of. If it was masonry, if it was steel, I mean, there's huge swings in pricing depending on what the walls are built of.
Right.
Okay,
so I asked that question, and Bob said, "We'll make it similar to what we have at the DPW," which is, you know, metal panels versus, you know, a masonry or a more expensive type of enclosure.
Peter, on that sentence, I think you could just remove "that serves the environment." So in other words, we're based on our needs for functionality, similar to the DPW facility project.
Okay.
I think the part that doesn't make any sense where it says that serves the environment. I think the point was it's a functional building, not fancy, very similar to what was built for DPW. Okay.
Karen, does that work for you?
That works, yeah. Like I said, it just didn't make sense.
No, I agree. And Bobby and Peter Carey have given us, you know, more context than we actually even were discussing at the meeting. Right. So obviously we're going to get into it. It's useful information for us. And I think Bob's suggestion is a good one. Yep. Let's.
Okay. Then the next sentence that points that's from you is pointed out that there will be another discussion at the next TMBC meeting. And I'm not quite sure another discussion of what specifically was my question when I read that.
Yeah, I would think it should say regarding project budget and scope or something like that.
Right, something where it was, what are we going to discuss? Because we always discuss at our meetings.
Yep.
All right.
We do have discussions, yes.
Yes, we do. And then this next sentence is the section of committee members agreed the next step to have a conversation with Peter to get feedback and guidance and for coordination. And I want to put in the next steps for the project. I took that and I'm like, again, it seems like there should be more to that sentence.
Yep. Go ahead.
Build feedback and guidance and coordination for the overall schedule of the project. I'm not quite sure.
Well, there was a lot of things. Go ahead, Ryan.
No, you're right. It was more than that. It encapsulates the whole project, really.
Yeah, and where we are with our drawing level at this point.
Right.
Drawing and more drawing and costs, I think. We were really zeroing in on.
So get feedback and guidance regarding next steps, I'd say.
Okay.
And, you know, we didn't go into a lot of detail because we know we need detail. So we can add, I think you could take out, well, you could leave the and for coordination, but regarding the next steps, I think is fine.
Okay. And then the last thing I have is Dave Madigan asked, or E. Madigan asked the next sentence or next paragraph. Recent set of documents could be shared instead of cold.
That's pretty good.
I felt like that was being you, Peter.
No, I appreciate that. I've given up typos for 2022.
Well, that one really kind of stood out.
Okay.
The last thing is Chairman's report. Peter Reynolds had nothing to report, and I think the subject should end then.
That's fine.
I'm all set.
Ron, Dave?
That covers any comments I had. I think that's fine.
Yep. Brian?
Peter, I have under New Collinsville Fire EMS House Project, the second sentence where Peter Reynolds cited the BOS resolution. It goes on to say the appointment of four additional members to the BOS. Should that say that?
Oh. It should say to PMBC.
Right. It should just take that to.
Or just four additional members. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. I missed that.
No, maybe we get to appoint additional members.
Sure.
The BOS. That's good. Thanks, Ryan.
Next paragraph, about the fifth sentence, it says, Peter Reynolds said that the new figure, maybe you just want to say budget instead of figure.
That's fine.
That's all I've got.
So I have a sort of a question of order, maybe for Bob Skinner as much as anybody, which is in talking about people who are present at the meeting, do you ordinarily just indicate people who connected remotely as if they were there, or do you indicate that they were, parenthetically, that they were remote as opposed to not physically present? Like Bob Martin?
If somebody's at the meeting, like let's say it's a hybrid meeting,
yeah.
And if a member is participating remotely, it's the same as if they're there.
Okay.
You would just put how participating would be whoever is there, either remote or in person.
That's fine with me. I've seen it done where people who are not in person are just indicated in parentheses remote.
I don't know any reason for doing that.
That's fine then. Well, I'm happy with that the way it is. The top of page two, the committee members discussed methodology. I'd suggest we change that. Committee members discussed construction methods. And then go with the rest of it. And in the jump over one more paragraph in which Peter Carey's name comes up, committee members agreed, so it's the third paragraph in the second page, agreed that a next step will be to have a conversation with Peter at Millennium. Let's use Carey's last name, Peter Carey. Which appears in the next sentence too. Otherwise, I think they're fine and good, and thanks for producing them. And unless there's further changes, why don't we accept them as amended?
I'll make a motion as amended.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We close. No. Minutes of December 7th are approved as amended. So now we've got the new station where Roman 4 on the agenda discussion with Peter Carey, who has joined us. And we've got some pages associated with Peter's look at the project and budget estimates. And then, which I think is probably, part, a continuation of the discussion, part B is proceeding. Options, methods, as we started outline last time. Where's I got so many people on the screen. Where is Glenn? Glenn, you sent us the update, the last most recent plans, and we had some discussion.
Yeah.
Sort of immediately following our last meeting, I think in part because we weren't able to include Jerry in some of, but there was some written follow-up regarding what we need as a building committee to go forward toward next phases of this, and clearly we need a more detailed drawings. So let's talk about from the town's perspective and from to get Peter's input on what we ought to be looking at next in terms of professional services to get this into a reasonable design level.
Well, can I just say, first of all, I'm sharing screen. Can everyone see this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this was our most recent breakdown from Peter Carey at Millennium for the firehouse project. And it includes all the items that we've been looking at and talking about on this project for quite a while. I can scroll down a little bit here, and so these are kind of the general, the bigger items, the overall, and then there's a breakdown for each item of what takes place in each one of them. And then, of course, at the very bottom, we have grand totals. And I don't know, Peter, if you want to, I don't know if we want to go like item by item or anything like that. I think maybe what Peter's asking is just for just an overall, what would be your approach, I think, to the project. I think, Peter, is that what you're asking? Peter,
let me make just an introductory comment. Some of this was the outcome of what we talked about last time. And there was a little follow-up via email after the last meeting. And at the last meeting, we looked at this summary budget, which we had seen previously. And that was the number, the budget breakdown, and the number was what the referendum was based on. And, we looked at the drawings, and I couldn't remember, what level of definition beyond the drawings had been developed previously. And it appears that what happened was that set of drawings, was developed, and I think we had a couple budgets ultimately produced, but Millennium did the most recent one. And based on those drawings, Peter developed the budget, and that's what we've been looking at. I think the concern in moving forward is to ensure that we, with Peter's comments from earlier, were that the drawings didn't provide a great level of detail regarding construction, finishes, and equipment and provisions, necessary to support the, the fire program. And I think we need to just make sure that we capture that in some manner or form, and make sure that, what we are expecting to build is documented and is acceptable to the fire department, and then hopefully fits in the budget, and we can then, proceed with developing design documents. And I think what we need to discuss is how much of that work gets done in advance of releasing the project for a design build approach, and how much gets done after as part of a design build approach. So those are kind of the questions that I think need to get answered. We need to decide how to proceed in doing that.
All right.
other thoughts?
my experience across the street there at the DPW was the town of Canton put together the site plan. So they put together the site plan, they submitted it for planning and zoning, and they established, I guess, what you would call a building program. The building's X size, it has so many bays, it has like the functionality of it. Mm-hmm. And the size of it, and then we took it from there and developed it, into the building that it is. But the site was all done in advance of us even getting involved in the pricing of this thing.
So Peter, you developed architectural drawings from that?
We hired an architect, is what we did. Well, because George had used Charlie Nyberg. So what we did was we went to him and we hired him to further the drawings, and that's essentially how we established, that project. But the site was done in advance, and the zoning was approved in advance of putting together the rest of the project over there.
What level of drawings did you have or did you work off of that you just talked about?
Well, if you ask Jerry, he'd probably tell you they weren't very good.
That's Jerry Waters, right?
That's Jerry Waters, right? But they probably weren't as extensive as you would get if you had a design and then a bid job.
Yep.
Or anywhere near. My recollection was we hired Charlie first. We went through an RFP process to hire an architect. We hired the architect, and at the same time we hired an engineer. The engineer did a survey and then did a site plan, and then you don't really need the design of the building for planning and zoning, so we went ahead and got site plan approval. And then Charlie essentially had a conceptual drawing for a DPW garage. And then that was presented to Millennium, who then came up with a proposal through the EZIQC system. And as part of that, they were responsible for final design of the building, enough so that we could get building approval and otherwise. And so the easiest thing for them to do, I think, was just to continue with Charlie. So we hired Charlie and made him, part of the project. And then Charlie completed the final designs of the building and the details for the interior of the building. And then we moved forward from there.
So with that,
I was going to say the Millennium was obviously in charge of hiring all the subs, and you know, he brought in all the contractors and hired actually CVC, local company, to do a lot of the site work and things like that.
So Bob, the drawing we have with our packet, the A1 drawing by Silver and Petroselli, is that equivalent to what you think you went?
I'd have to go back and look. It probably is not. It, even if it was, I think the nature of this building and the fire, you know, it being a fire station, I think you'd probably want a higher grade, higher level drawing to orient it to begin with. And I certainly think if we go Millennium or even someplace else, that they're not going to be comfortable, you know, putting a proposal forward without more detailed drawings. And I certainly understand the concerns that Jerry has mentioned about there being additional detail required to meet the needs of the fire station. So I certainly, you know, understand that. And I think, you know, we talked about professional services. We said all along we're going to have to hire an architect. We know that. So it's just a matter of how we hire the professional services. If it's, like I said, if we follow the same pattern as the DPW garage, you're going to have to hire an engineer, you're going to have to hire an architect. And then from those two, you come up with the plans enough to either go forward with design, bid, build, or design, build, or easy IQC, which is a version of design, build, except it doesn't, it's not out as a market. It's, you know, it's right. Even easy IQC.
But it's not design, bid, build.
No. Easy IQC, no.
Right.
No.
So if I can jump in for just a second, so what we're actually talking about is not so much construction method as it is project delivery method. And that's the whole process, design and construction. So just a clarification to the prior month's meeting minutes. I just point that out. I think that one of the key things that I'd mention is that because there are so many regulatory requirements for fire and EMS, where we have to comply with NFPA, for example, it's important to have design professionals who have done fire stations, firehouses, EMS facilities. And I say those three things because they're actually different. Some are just stations, some are houses, and some are combined facilities. So it's important. One of the things in looking at the Silver Petroselli floor plan, for example, is that there is only laundry, apparently gear washer, for fire gear. But in reality, when you have a firehouse, a combined fire EMS house, you have laundry that you have to do for house linens, but you also have EMS that are washing their clothing after decontaminating, and that's not done in the same washer and dryer that's built for fire protective gear. So there are a number of things that have to be adjusted within the floor plan, that the conceptual plan. It really doesn't even approach schematic level design because, as Peter Carey has pointed out and as Dave Madigan pointed out, you know, there is no spec by narrative. There is nothing more than a floor plan and a couple pretty rudimentary elevations or renderings to give an idea of what it might look like. And, you know, to everyone's point here, you know, the building materials that are selected, when the question is asked, you know, what's it going to be, to say that the town garage is the right comp, it may not be for a number of reasons. So, you know, as Peter Carey is saying, there's a cost difference between, you know, wall sections that are CMU with some sort of veneer on it or a light gauge metal, you know, panel or something like that. So a lot of things that have to be gone through to make sure that they are the right investment for the town, they have the durability, that they meet the functionality, and above it all, that we meet the regulatory requirements that are out there.
In the budget.
Yeah, and add one little detail of the budget, but I agree totally, Jerry.
I do too. I guess I'm surprised to hear that you don't see those things in there, Jerry, given how much time Silver Petroselli spent with people at Fire and EMS. Is there some reason that it wouldn't be in there at this point?
I can't answer for them. I can only say that there needs to be a regulatory checklist that goes through and assures that all those requirements are satisfied.
So that wasn't in the fire and EMS discussions with Silver Petroselli and the
whenever they seemed, they were not operating in a, we didn't have a committee, to my knowledge, that was really meeting with them and going through this to properly vet every element of the building. There is some general space planning, as you can see, but it really doesn't get into the details.
Determined before this drawing was finalized. I'm kind of surprised to hear that.
Yeah. Well, Solar Petrocelli represents themselves as having a lot of experience with fire stations as well. And
I would also point out that during the PNBC meetings, there were fire personnel there on a number of occasions. I mean, this, I can tell you, this is reviewed ad nauseum with fire fire personnel,
right.
And you know, there were a lot of comments that came out. Some of them are from a member who's no longer there, but still, there were a number of comments that came out and changes that were made and things were rebuilt. And you know, I mean, I certainly appreciate there may need to be changes, but I certainly wouldn't want to insinuate that there weren't a significant amount of firefighter input in EMS. This building.
There definitely was, Bob, and my point is that there also needs to be a level of professional service that assures that every NFPA regulation that applies to fire stations and EMS houses applies here. It is taken into account. Mm-hmm.
Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, and I mean, I would go beyond that. Just, you know, again, I don't remember some of what was developed and what wasn't, but all that, you know, I can see right now that defines what the construction elements of the building are going to be. I'm just looking at the estimate now, and you know, HVAC is a lump sum of $540,000, electrical $290,000, and then generator, fire alarm, datacom $220,000. I remember discussions about how big the generator was going to be there. I mean, there's so many, you know, details about what the scope of electrical and HVAC should be. There should be at least some schematic level bulleted description or list of the various components that went into this. And I'm not, you know, in any way, you know, criticizing Peter, because if someone said, give me a price on this, he's going to go to a contractor and, you know, they'll come up with a system to cover these things. But we need to ensure that whatever budgeting was done captures the necessary systems and construction. You know, the envelope was a perfect example. Is it built out of, you know, light gauge steel or masonry? A big difference, you know. And I'm not saying, you know, we want to, you know, go for, you know, the highest end construction in all these areas. We need to make sure we meet the budget, but we need to understand, you know, what is this budget based on, and is that acceptable, or do we want to modify it up or down in quality? And I just don't know whether we ever had a doc. I remember talking about like the generator size. I mean, I don't see it here anywhere. You know, I think it was 100 kW or something, but you know, it's all the kind of topics I think we need to be sure we're you know, understanding.
Taking a step back from that, Dave, I think I'm a little bit concerned that there's some elements in that floor plan that developed that budget, or was used to develop that budget, that aren't in there at this point, from Jerry's comment. And I think we'd have to take a step back and make sure all the elements that are required are in that print before we budget it.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, again, we don't want to, you know, I hear Bob's concern. We don't want to start from scratch and find that all of a sudden, you know, we've increased the square footage and the budget's gone up. But we should try to work with what we have. But if there's any deficiencies, we need to make sure we, you know, understand them and respond to them. So.
You guys, can you hear me talking?
Yeah, no, we can.
Oh, there we go. Okay. I don't know what wasn't working. I just wanted to speak to the previous committee a little bit since I sat on that. I think we were more focused on making sure the elements were in the building and not so much an exact layout. We did make a lot of changes, but I think we were viewing it more as a budgetary document than a final design document.
Right.
And so I know Silver Petrocelli has done a lot of firehouses, but there was a lot of, I don't know the exact experience. There were certainly some things that we looked at that didn't make a lot of sense. Example, the decon rooms, you had to walk through the living space of their original design. And I don't know their experience in it, but I don't know if this is necessarily the final solution. We were just looking at it as it's got the space we need to meet our needs, and it was kind of a rough form at that point.
Right.
Well, so as we look at the different project delivery methods, I mean, think about design build, design bid build, or, you know, some CM at risk where the, you know, the town holds the design contract and then there's a CM working with the town and the designer. You know, there are lots of ways of delivery. And it's always a question of owner's risk or contractor's risk, right? Or owner's control or contractor's control. I think we're going to, as we talk through this, we should be thinking in those terms of what will deliver the best value to the town with the least amount of risk, right?
Right.
So just back, you know, we most of us on the building committee were not closely involved in the town garage project, but I would characterize it as pretty successful from a scope and budget perspective. I think it met the budget and it seemed to satisfy the needs of the department. In that one, Bob, if I heard you correctly, the town hired an architect who got started on the design, and then that architect was assigned to the design-build contractor, Millennium, to complete the documents. Is that what occurred?
They weren't assigned to him.
They hired him.
EZIQC, or Millennium, hired them. Okay. They could have gotten another architect if they wanted, but they, right, they were satisfied with what Charlie had done and figured the easiest thing to do was to continue on with Charlie. But we didn't assign them anywhere. It was their decision to utilize them.
Sure. But it was the same architect that the town, you know, hired who moved over to work for the design build contractor.
And, it was. You know,
typically in a design build approach, there would be the owner, in this case the town, would hire an architect who would do a schematic design. Often they're called bridging documents, and those would be the basis of a design build contract. And then often the design builder will hire a different architect, but again, small project, there's logic to keeping the same person on board. And it seems to me that's probably what we should do, is the town here should hire an architect to, you know, start with what we have, further develop the plans, make sure all of the requirements of the fire department are met, make sure we, you know, are clear on all the construction, you know, methods and equipment and systems. And then, you know, hopefully what we've come up with will fall within the budget, and then we can decide, do we do this IDIQ or some other method of delivery? Does that sound reasonable?
Mm-hmm. I agree, Dave.
Absolutely.
David, you just took the leap to what I was going to say about the bridging service by an architect that puts together a schematic drawing along with schematic specs that meet the minimum standards that the town desires.
Mm-hmm. Right. So does that mean we need to generate a RFP, Bob?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing you're going to want to do is hire an architect, and at some point you're going to need an engineer too. But you start with the architect, and yeah, I mean, generally that would be done through an RFP process.
How do people feel about Silver Petrocelli? And they obviously have some familiarity with what with what's been done to date in the program and some of the folks with the department. I mean, if we think they've done a really good job, we might consider some negotiated approach with them, Bob, if that's reasonable. If we think we would like to, there's some question about their experience in fire stations, maybe we do want to select the architect based on experience and go to a more formal, selection process.
I have no problem going with an RFP.
I'm kind of leaning more towards an RFP,
absolutely,
general RFP also.
I think a fresh set of eyes on it would
probably be good. Absolutely.
I agree. Yeah, I think, a new perspective. We have what we have, but having someone else take a look at it who's got some good firehouse experience seems logical. Yeah.
Did Bob respond to the question?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I don't have any problem with going out to an RFP.
I think, you know, Civil Francescelli has done a reasonably good job, but I think there were some concerns raised at time of left there. Some of the responsiveness, I know a prior chief has some concerns. It certainly, and there's nothing to say that if you go out there RFP, Civil Francescelli,
they can respond
to RFPs before, and we hired them on multiple occasions. So, you know, obviously, they're used to being part of our selective process. So, you know, I don't have any problem going out to RFP. I do want to make sure that basically the scope is to take what we have here and move forward. I do have a little concern about throwing it out and starting from scratch. And you really don't want to blow up this budget. I don't think there's going to be a lot more money. So, you know, I think the idea is take the conceptual drawing that's here and take it a couple steps further. And we need to make sure that we define what that scope is, but I just want to make sure you don't start from scratch. You know?
I don't want to start from scratch.
I agree.
I want to raise this question following Jerry's Jerry Holland's comments about the regulatory requirements for this industry and these municipal functions, and whether that is that we're looking for that input at this stage or the subsequent stage in terms of design.
You brought that up, the bridging docks.
So that and the bridging docks.
Yeah. Yes, that would be, yeah. So the scope of services I think you're looking for this architect would be hiring, which would probably be a combination of architecture and engineering, but that it is a designer that's retained by the owners or by the town to develop the design documents to that schematic level. And to get to the schematic means that you have to solve for the NFPA regulations for design, for fitness, and all those things.
Yeah. That's what I wanted to be clear about, and I don't have any trouble with that answer. I think that's probably the right answer, and it seems to me that we got to keep our hands on both those concepts. What Bob Skinner says is we have spent a lot of time getting to the point that we are, and so what we need to do is refine it with that the NFPA regulations in focus, but not the sense that this isn't a basic design concept that we're planning to deviate from.
Yeah. I'll just caution everybody on the committee that since April, a lot of the materials have doubled in price, and they continue to go up, and their availability keeps going down. Steel is double what it was. Drywall's up almost 50 to 100%. Ceiling tiles are up almost 100%. Everything's going up big. So keep that in mind as you start spending, because it's going to get more expensive.
Well, I'm always the optimist, and I'm hoping that the bubble we've seen of really extreme, and Jerry and I were on a call the other day where we had very similar findings, but I'm hoping it's not going to last forever, and by the time we, you know, actually purchase this job, hopefully things will have alleviated them somewhat, but, you know, your points are well taken. It's a reality right now, so.
I mean, you know, just... If you got a flat roof, you gotta order stuff 4 or 5 months, depending on the size, 4 or 5 months in advance. It's 4 or 5 months to get ISO certified for flat roofs now.
Yeah. What's our schedule again, Bob Skinner, for when we would probably want to go with the bid on this? Do you have a reasonable feel for that?
Well, we're looking at next fall probably. So we were hoping to get professional services over the winter, design, spring, summer, land use agencies, you know, in the fall, and then go out to bid sometime in the late fall, maybe early winter, for a construction start in the spring of 2023.
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. I think all we can do is hope that, you know, by that time things have improved. There's certainly no guarantee.
Yeah, I mean, that was what we understood the April estimate that we got from Millennium was considering as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, since April, they've gone up that much.
Yeah, we had an escalator.
I understood that to be in your projections in April.
Yeah, I was working off the numbers I knew at the time. I didn't know what's, you know, I just got a whole bunch of emails of all the cost increases starting the first of the year yesterday.
So it had gone up a 900,000 or a million from the previous year.
Right.
And we thought that was projecting 2023 costs.
Yeah, we did include an escalator. There was a certain percentage that we put in based on part of what Jerry told us and part of what we thought the industry standard was. And so there was, I don't remember what the exact percentage was, but
the steel number had doubled from what we carried originally in the estimate. So hopefully some of that has been captured. But again, I think it is what it is. We got to just, hope for the best and be as efficient in the construction as we can be. So
I can't tell if Peter thinks we should hurry up or slow down.
I know. I don't think anyone knows.
I certainly don't know.
I think he's just trying to warn us that his estimate may be outdated. That's all.
Well, I'm also warning you, don't spend a lot up front. You may need it in the end, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Well, is there any more discussion at this point that people want to have on the project delivery method, or should we leave it to Bob to put together the RFP?
I think we go with RFP.
Yep. RFP for design services at a at a certain level and scope for the first set of design.
Mm-hmm. We'd call it through schematic design now, and I think then we would want to have some ongoing conversations about what is the best project delivery method from a contracting standpoint. And again, it sounded like this IDIQ method worked pretty good for the for the town garage. I'm not very familiar with that method, but if it worked well and the town, Bob and Glenn feel that they got good value out of it, I'd be fine with doing it that way. But there may be other options to consider also.
Well, since we have Peter Carey here, maybe Peter would like to expand on what the Easy IQC program, how it works, so everybody's, those of you that aren't clear on it can get clarity.
Yeah, the program is basically it's, I don't know if you're familiar with a means catalog, but it's a series of unit prices, tens of thousands of them, and you select whatever goes into the project and you put the quantity in and it gives you a price in the end. That's how it works. It's basically, so in the end you'll get maybe 70, 80 pages of the components of the building with prices associated with all of them for a lump sum total of X, whatever that is. That's how the program works.
It's so that the unit prices are uniform across municipalities, correct?
Yeah, they're the same. It's the same for everyone in the CROG program.
Right. Who uses CROG? Okay.
So basically, Peter, that's taking the published RS means from a year.
It's not RS means. It's the Gordian Group does it. So okay. It's similar to that type of.
The people who publish RS means are Gordian, right?
So then, those published numbers, do you apply a multiplier, a 0.85 or a 1.5 to it to mark them up based on your assessment of the market and the book value that they give you?
Yes, there's a multiplier that goes on to that number.
And is that the same is that the same multiplier for all divisions of that, or does it vary, you know, from site work to ceilings?
No, it's all divisions. It's the same multiplier.
Okay, so the average prices that are in that book, you know, if I'm not a fan of averages. If I put 1 foot in ice water, another one in boiling water, I'm just not comfortable. And so, you know, my preference would not be to use that, but rather to take it to a competitive design build and have it, you know, have the design build, you know, specify the products and have those market price. Because I think what we're up against, you know, when we're seeing the building cost index annual inflation rate over 13% right now, as reported by ENR, it puts the contractor at risk. If you have a divergence of the cost material and markup structure and, you know, the price book, you know, you could easily run someone out of business if that's not done right. So I'm a little suspect of EZIQC in this environment.
Well, they change the, every year they do a cost adjustment, and our multiplier was just adjusted yesterday, and it went up 13%. So it'll go up again next year. So if it starts in 223, the prices come in at 223, could go up another 10%, if that's what, because it's based on the ENR average, mm-hmm. and it's adjusted yearly.
One thing that I like about EZIQC, no matter where we use them, is the unit pricing. That is, if we take out 10 widgets and they're $10 each, it's $100. If you add 10 widgets and they're $10 a piece, it's $100. My other experience is when I've used a contractor and you have a change order, you know, it's $50 to add them in and $100 to take them out. Or vice versa, I should say. So it seems like it's a much fairer, more flexible system when we use EZIQC.
It's much less complicated, right?
Well, I mean, it's a firehouse. It'll have some complications to it. But it's just when you need to make changes, the consequences of those changes are much less severe when you use an EZIQC than it is when you're out using a contractor. And I can tell you the difference between building, you know, a DPW garage using EZIQC versus, you know, putting a bridge in or something using your general contractor method is remarkable. It is a significant difference in a cost difference.
Bob, if I can make a comment real quick, my experience with EZIQC is pretty limited, I will admit. However, we did do last year a pretty good size sidewalk project on Dyer and Commerce that was an EZIQC project to start with. We didn't particularly care for, some of the numbers. It wasn't going to work for some of the extras that we wanted in the project. So we did go to competitive bid. But I can tell you that going through the EZIQC process with the contractor at the time, who was not Millennium for the region, it was a different one. What Bob is saying is absolutely right. It's really painless, and I think it probably accelerates. I think it speeds up the project in a good way, in that, you know, things like change orders are not going to be an issue. I know at DPW, I've heard, you know, stories about how smoothly that project went, and some examples that Bob Martin has given me, and it sounds pretty good. And I guess I can see where there might be a little bit of, hesitancy if you've never been involved in it, but from what I've seen of it, it appears to function very well.
And Claire, I have a question. If I may, to Peter, the other Peter, how long is your contract with EZIQC for this region?
We have this year, which I've already signed, and then we have have the option to take one more year, so it would be next year.
So 23.
Okay. 23, yeah. It's a three-year, potential three-year.
And if an agreement is signed with EZIQC, with you as a contractor during your term, you get to stay with that project through to the end?
Yes.
So it does? Okay. That's what I figured. All right. Because my favorable experience with EZIQC is through Millennium. Not all contractors are made the same. And I have had favorable experience with Millennium. Sometimes not as favorable with some of the other contractors. But Millennium has been very favorable.
So, Bob, I get the idea behind EZIQC. And I think that during times of normal escalation, and I framed that to say that the Hartford region, you know, 2 to 3.5% annual escalation was kind of the norm for many, many years. We saw a couple bumps in 2005, 2006 in the steel market, but we're in some pretty interesting times right now, supply chain issues and cost escalation that are just historic, quite frankly. And so, I am as concerned about the fairness to the contractor as I am to the town. And so one thing I am curious about is when you do an EZIQC project, do you have a performance and payment bond with the project?
It's up to you. If you want one, you get one.
And I understand that, you know, the cost associated with that. Right. But so for Peter Carey, what happens if you commit to the Gordian book price list today and steel goes up by 30%? You know, if we signed a deal and the market goes kaflooey, are you covering the difference? How does that work?
We cover the difference. If we signed a contract, I'm obligated to complete the job for the price. And if you have a bond, the bond guarantees if we don't complete it, they'll step in and complete it for us.
But you're not going to sign a contract on prices of today for 2 years from now, correct?
No.
Or
no.
A year from now?
No. No, I wouldn't. That doesn't make any sense for us.
Exactly. It would be a year from now is when we would be signing a contract, and we'll have a better idea of the prices, right?
That's right.
Well, we're not going to make a decision on which way
we're going. But
I think this is a good conversation to have, and I certainly respect, Jerry's opinion, and he's got a lot more experience in this than I do. So either way, we have to get an architect. We have to get architectural services.
Yeah.
I do think, as part of hiring an architect, the scope of work should be all the way through to the bidding.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to work up that detail of work. But it is a good, valuable, conversation for maybe a later date.
From that angle, are we going to have the site engineer under the umbrella of the architect?
We didn't in our other projects. I don't know, you guys can talk about that. You know, we put it out as one professional services RFP. I'm in the past, we hired an architect separate and then did the site work separate through an engineer.
Well, then we should do that again. I mean, is the site that complex? The site isn't that complex, right?
I normally see it, and not saying it's right, but the architect takes the lead on it.
Yeah.
A site engineer they're comfortable with, but if it's worked in the past with the town, like on the DPW where we hire a site engineer ahead of time, separate from the architect, I'm okay with that too.
Yeah.
As long as the architect's willing.
I mean, I think in reality, we're talking about putting an RFP out for the architect first anyways. And so, when it comes time to hiring the engineer, they certainly could give us some input on it.
Well, but the alternative is you hire a design team, which would include, you know, the architect would be the lead. They would subcontract to a civil engineer, and then you would have a mechanical, electrical engineers as needed. It can go either way. You know, often the owner will provide the survey, but the design team engages the civil engineer to actually do the design. And then if the architect's going to have a landscape architect or something, you know, that sort of gets coordinated within the design team. So, you know, that more typically the civil would be engaged by the architect rather than independently by the town in a project like this. But it can be done either way. If you've got experience, you know, separately contracting them like you did on DPW, that's fine with me too. So, you know, for example, the school projects, the civil engineer worked for the architect, all the consultants worked for the architect, but that was a full design bid build project. So.
Right. Does anybody think that design bid build will make sense for this facility?
You know, normally I'm not a big fan of design build, very frankly. I do almost no design build work, but in a project like this where we really have very tight cost constraints, you know, I think it's probably the right thing to do. I think when you go design build, the owner gives up some control of the final product, but, you know, they do so either to satisfy schedule or cost constraints. And I think in this case, cost constraints are probably our biggest issue. So I would advocate for design build, and in some, you know, there's different varieties of design build, but that would be my thought.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, we were angling in that direction with the DPW facility before the current location was even determined.
Right.
I think because of the budget constraints you talk about, and also I think because of the relative design issues being as manageable as we thought they were with DPW.
Yeah.
And the complexity DPW of too, this building.
Well, DPW was a different animal because you had the floodplain. There was a lot of differences there that you don't run into here. And you had the contaminated soils and, you know, it made a lot of sense the way you did it to break it apart like that, because just for those reasons, you know.
Mm. Well, I know you had a lot of site challenges we're hoping not to have here.
You better not.
Right. Jerry, were you thinking of something?
Jerry Waters?
Jerry Holland?
Yeah. Oh, Jerry Holland.
Oh. Oh, actually, Jerry Waters has his hand up, so let him go.
All right, Jerry, over to Jerry. Pass to you, Jerry Waters.
Can I chime in anytime?
You can chime in when the chair recognizes you, what she's doing now.
You recognize me. Go ahead. Yeah, no, I'd just like to point out that, what Dave Madigan said. Dave, you scared me right there when you said we got to get this thing done on budget, which is one thing. You know, but I think the town is looking for, you know, from a design standpoint and a citizen standpoint and an architectural standpoint, something that looks nice. I don't think you've got it on paper right now. I think it's just, it looks to me like kind of like a, I heard a flat roof mentioned. The thing would look like a double wide trailer with a flat roof. I mean, like an oversized double wide. I think the town deserves better than that. And I would say that if you can't get it done right, you don't do it until you can get it done right. You just don't. I don't know if there's such a pressing issue. I know the fire department, the building is in sad shape and it's outdated and it doesn't meet anybody's standards and requirements. But I would never advocate for throwing something up and putting something up, knowing that it's going to be there a long time if it's not first class, which is, I think, what Canton deserves. I think we've been cheated in the past on a couple of projects that were just too budget conscious and aesthetics, you know, they just kind of fall to the wayside because of the time constraints and the budget. And it's just, to me, it's a failure if all three of them aren't done correctly or they don't balance out, you know. So, that's kind of where I'm chiming in.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Jerry, but, you know, there are certain constraints, and the referendum is a big one. And, you know, if we can't bring it in for the money that was allocated in the referendum, I don't know what the, and you know, the reality is that, you know, we have seen an exceptional level of inflation and escalation over the last year, and it may or may not continue. But, you know, it may be that we can't bring what we want in for that number. And if we, you know, if we get to that point, I think we'll have some hard decisions to make. But, Bob, I don't know what the, you know, what the recourse would be if we feel we can't build what we think we need for the money that's been allocated in the referendum, you know.
Well, you can always go back and ask for more money, but I think that would be somewhat of a long shot, especially since we haven't even started yet.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we can do it now, but, you know.
I can tell you when I first came up with the highway garage, we ran into the environmental. I mean, that was almost over 300,000 by the time we got done on a what was even a tighter project than this. And at that time, everybody was saying, you got to go back for money. You got to go back for more money. We'll never get it done. You have to go back and get reimbursement for these unexpected environmental costs. And we said, no, we just stick to our guns. We said, we build it for this and we'll get it done. And I you can ask Bob, but I think they've got a very good facility there, and it came in a budget. So, and we added things to it, including a road and some other items. So, you know, I think you need to try to get it accomplished before we start talking about needing more money.
Right.
And I agree with what Peter said. We really want, I mean, there's things we need inside the building. Let's make sure we save as much money as we can for the actual building. And I don't want to cheat the professional services, but I think at the end of the day, we got to think of what we're building, and we want to make sure we save as much as we can for the actual construction and the facility.
You know, I just want to comment as the tenant of Public Works. I was primarily concerned with what we needed inside the building. And I don't want to say that's what the fire department should do, but we had a budget. We got everything we needed inside, and I think the building speaks for itself. You know, we're looking at some significant pricing right now that's going to, you know, even at 5.4, you know, I would be concentrating on functionality, what you need, less so on creating a monument. And that was the attitude that I had as a director during that project for us, and seemed to work out pretty well.
My point is that public buildings need to reflect what the public thinks of their town. And, you know, what I see on paper, I don't think reflects what the people of this town feel about this town. And I really would hate to see it get out there. And I think, you know, the COVID and the cost increases and the supply line problems that everybody knows about is a really good excuse for either getting more money or putting it off. Oops, where'd we go here? And, you know, it's just, I would, well, that's the way I feel about it.
Right. Well, those are good points, Jerry, and ones that are meaningful to the building committee. So thanks.
No problem.
What else we got? I see a hand up. Well, we're going to want to discuss further the design build question, but it sounds like there's a leaning in that direction or EZIQC, which I lump into design build as opposed to, you know, both of them contrasted to design bid build, based on the things that we've already identified, and we'll be able to have further discussion. Before we leave item 4 on the agenda, do you need further discussion, Bob? Do you think about RFP scope from the committee at this point? Do you want to talk about it again at the next meeting after you take a whack at it, or What are you thinking?
Yeah, what I would say is give us a chance to try to draft something up. Maybe make a run it by Jerry with his expertise. And then, and both Jerry's. And then I could bring it back to the next meeting. And then, we can review it there. And hopefully after the next meeting, be able to go ahead and post it and put it out.
Well, that makes sense. And I guess based on the discussion that we've had and the questions that have been raised and the fact that everybody's feeling the uncertainty of the times, and of course a year ago we were feeling different uncertainties, and who knows what will be next year, that we try to research independently and talk about the things that that we're trying to get settled on. And I don't know if Jerry Holland has had the chance to talk to Bob Martin about some of their construction experience at DPW, but I have, and it was very interesting to hear Bobby talk about the way that went when they had to make decisions midstream. And I just like us all to have as much of the same information as possible as we go forward as a committee, because we're going to want to make the best decisions that we can. So we'll be as informed as possible. I haven't worked with EZIQC, but I was favorably impressed poking my nose into the DPW throughout the project at the way it went. And so I would at least recommend that Jerry Holland, anybody else who's interested, find out about it. And at the same time, I think we have to contrast it as a methodology to other more familiar methods too, because what we want to do is make the decision that will be the most beneficial to the town, and so let's just all try to do that and figure that we'll continue the conversation as well, because either way we want to do this next step with getting some design services.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Peter, and I think that really, there's a great opportunity. The fact that you built a project, it's now 5 years hence or 6 years hence, and you can look back at lessons learned and is there anything that you would have done differently? And, we can look at other stations in town and look at lessons learned. Yeah. For example, the way that the slab pitches at Station 3, the North Canton station, we would never want to repeat that. So those types of things, we can collectively, let's bring those lessons learned to the table and benefit from it.
Right. I that's good. That's something we should do. How old is that station, North Canton, Jerry?
Tom or Craig Hutch, you probably know better than me. Was it 14
years?
So I thought 13.
Yeah. Well, we should. We should absolutely, everything that was learnable from that experience should be brought forward. And the DPW, it's in recent memory and it's proximate geographically, but it's a different facility. There are some similarities, but there's some differences. And we want to learn as much as possible from these recent experiences and apply them to maximize what we're doing here.
One thing I would just suggest, if Bob, if you and Bobby are going to take a shot at a RFP for architectural services, if that could be distributed in advance of the next meeting so we could all take a look at it and, come to the meeting with comments and stuff, that would probably make the meeting more productive, whether you can get it done. So.
Yeah, absolutely. The only one caveat I would say to that, it is budget season. So I think we're down about a third of our staff now because of COVID. So we'll do our best to get it done and get it to you in advance.
Sounds good.
Okay. Any further business on item 4? The participants. Peter Carey, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
It's really useful and reflects also the positive experience that the town had with the DPW construction working with you.
It's good to hear.
Yeah, so thank you. I don't think we have any moving to item five, any invoices in particular?
That's correct. No, I don't have anything.
And so the chairman's report will be incredibly short and sweet. The next meeting is February 1st at 7 p.m. We'll make the decision between now and then whether it's a hybrid meeting or entirely remote. I do kind of prefer trying to get together some people if possible, but if it doesn't make sense, we won't do it. And we want to keep things going and build some collective momentum. Otherwise,
can I just make one comment, Peter? As a member of the Energy Committee as well, the topic of what might be some of the next energy projects for the town came up at our last meeting, and we discussed the potential of adding photovoltaic panels to the firehouse, and that was done for the for the town garage and as well as all the other town facilities, really all the schools, and I think just about we have them on just about every one of our buildings now. So I think that I would just encourage the design to accommodate provisions for those panels, and I think the orientation of the building is works out very well for that, and that's something that would not typically be carried by the construction budget, but there would potentially need to be some limited infrastructure in the building to support that, but then we would separately engage a solar firm to come in and install the panels after the fact, but it could influence what type of roofing we use and stuff like that. So I'll just add that comment from that's reflected in the meeting minutes from the Energy Committee a couple weeks ago. So
Dave, was that contemplated when the DPW roof was built, or was that additional?
That was an extension of, we've worked with the same solar, basically design build contractor. They have a different name. They got bought by Con Ed. They were originally Ross Solar. They're bought by Con Ed Solutions, I think they're called now. And it was a separate contract, but we had a contract to do all three of the schools, and then we extended that to the waste treatment. I can't remember, Bob Skinner.
It was the three schools, the community center, and DPW. And we went through an RFP process. We had worked with Con Ed a little bit, just as they gave us some consulting. But then we did go through an RFP process, and it was that Con Ed that was awarded the contract. And we are saving money on those solar panels, and they're working out very well. So certainly, when we did talk about originally doing the fire station, we want to include the solar cells on the roof. And I agree with you, as part of the design, we should make sure that it's orientated as best we can, and that the roof will support them. So, I would very much so believe that we would have the panels up there when we get done. But it was done separately.
It wasn't part of the
It's not. No, it's completely separate. All the schools, they were all done, except it was done as soon as the DPW was completed. They went in and did it. They also, because it's the same site, we were able to accommodate more. And I think we put extra on because of the
some of the power goes over to WPCA. Yeah.
Right.
Brings back memories of Dick Swybold suggesting we do that, even starting with the middle school construction.
Yeah, well, we finally got there. It took a few years.
Finally caught up with Dick Swybold.
Yeah. And another thing unrelated that I'll note is that we are finally generating electricity at the Collinsville Dam for the first time in about 60 years now. So that happened about 2 weeks ago. They started generating power, so that's pretty big achievement. So that's kind of cool.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Oh, I can't take much credit for it, but I'll give Bob Skinner a lot, and Bobby and Glenn, everybody's had a hand in it, but it's been a long road, that's for sure.
Well, I meant the whole project, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's great to see.
Well, I think it was last month we talked about it, December 7th, and there were some things up in the air of whether it would even transpire.
Yeah, there's still things up in the air. They are running water through the turbine, but the fish ladder isn't up and running. The flashboards aren't across the front of the dam. They have a very lengthy punch list
all left to get done. But they did get the facility commission, and they are allowed to begin to do electricity. But there's still a fair amount of work left to be done.
Definitely. When you look there, there's a lot to be done.
But it's been a long road. I mean, this project was started when I got here 13 years ago. So, I mean, there's probably about a stack 3 feet high of documents down at FERC with my name on it. So it scares me every time I think about it. But it was a very, very lengthy project.
Yeah, well, it's great to have gotten to this point. Terrific. Electric eels back in the Farmington.
And they'll have their own fish ladder to get over the dam, too.
Right.
Literally, there's a cement slab that looks like a pegboard that the things slither over in order to get over the dam. That was part of the project.
Is that on film?
We're trying to get them to put a camera up on the fish ladder so we can see the fish that are going through as they go through. That'd maybe they'll put one on the other, because the eel passage will be on the other side of the river. But maybe they'll get a camera on that one too. You can see the little things slither over the dam.
That'd be neat.
If that's what you're into.
That'd be worth doing. Well, they use it in the science classes.
Yeah, there you go.
So we got
some up below, but that's all right.
Anything on staff report, Glenn or Bob or Bobby?
I don't have anything for you.
Okay. Well, thanks for getting us this far. We're taking the right next steps, I think. In the absence of any further business, call the meeting adjourned. Thank you all, particularly new members joining us and helping out. Nice to see you, Jerry.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Good night.